97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hello, this is Kristen Heemster. Welcome to The Art of Potential show. We have a super, super fun show in store for you today. We are going to be talking about something I know that's relevant to a lot of people, a lot of our listeners, which is how to obtain and work with a literary agent. And we have put together a super show because we have an actual author with us. We have Kristen Cusick-Lewis. She is the author of How Lucky Are You? Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, thanks for having me.
She also happens to be a Chapel Hill girl, so we're very excited about that. And then her agent is also with us, Catherine Fawcett. And Catherine is out of one of the big publishing houses in New York, Curtis Brown. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, ladies, so fun we're having here. So what I would like to do, the first segment, what we're going to be talking about is each of the women's respective journeys to where they are now. So we're going to start with Kristen Lewis. So Kristen, tell us, how did you become a writer?
Okay, so it's what I always wanted to do.
Always. You knew the moment you were born, you were like, I'm writing stories.
Did, for better or for worse. It's what I always wanted to do. Growing up, I was always reading and writing. You know, when I got into high school, I was writing a lot of bad poetry and, yeah. all that. But I really, it's what I love to do, and I always love to read. And so I knew pretty early on that's what I wanted.
Did anyone in your family write?
No.
So, so you were kind of like the odd child out, like, there she goes, the writer going into her writing again.
Yeah, I was. And I was fortunate to have parents who weren't like, you know, go to law school.
Right.
Uh-huh. So who encouraged me. And so I did. Yeah. So I started writing pretty early on and did internships during college. And
that is so nice. Okay. Just from a bigger perspective, it's so nice when someone knows immediately what they want to do with their lives. It's like, it saves you so much time and energy. And Catherine, what about you? What drew you to becoming a literary agent?
Well, the honest answer is I was an English major, big book nerd, and was a terrible waitress.
Waitressing is a tough job.
It is. Yeah, I did it in Oxford, Mississippi, and I think I spilled red-eye gravy on many poor people. So if you're out there, I'm very sorry. But, you know, the real answer, although that's partly true, is that I knew I wanted to get into book publishing, and so I moved to New York and interviewed with a publishing house, and when they said, well, we don't have anything here, but we know of a literary agency that's looking for an assistant, I said, great, but I really didn't know what a literary agent did. But I went to interview at their offices, and there were these two women in a brownstone in the East 30s, and had all their books lined up in alphabetical order, and they had Edith Wharton next to Cornel West, and there were just these two amazingly smart, interesting women, and I said, well, I don't know really what you two do here, but it looks amazing, so I went in, and the rest was history.
You found your people.
Yeah, that's right.
You're like, you are my people.
That's right. Because they said that, you know, our job is, we are the intermediary between the author and the publisher, and our job is to find new writers, interact with writers, and champion them. And I thought, you know, that sounds like the kind of job I want.
Something you could get behind.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, so I'm going to take this question back to Kristen. So it sounds like your past, you knew immediately you wanted to become a writer. How has being a writer shaped who you are?
That's a tough question. I mean, I feel like it's always been a part of who I am. I feel like...
Has it pushed you? Has it pulled you? Has it, you know, do you live inside your head part of the time, I would think?
I absolutely am always thinking about whatever I'm working on at the moment. And I'm definitely... as my husband says, a bad person to go out to dinner with, because I'm always looking over or listening to what's happening at the next table and always seeking out details. And I'm definitely, I think a big part of being a writer is being a curious person. And, you know,
So if somebody is sitting next to you at dinner and they're having a conversation you find particularly interesting.
I'm filing it away.
You're filing it away. Is it likely to appear in your next novel then?
No. Probably not.
Probably, but you never know. Yeah. Yeah. You'd be like, oh, wow, I thought I had a similar conversation at one time.
Yep.
All right. And to you, Catherine, how has being an agent, because I would think being an advocate for people would really kind of push and pull you in a lot of different ways.
How has it shaped me? Well,
yes.
I think it's made me a better negotiator for myself because, I mean, you know, I'm from the South and I was not taught to be demanding money of people, and it's not just demanding, but more money. And,
right.
Which, you know, I say with great tongue in cheek, but sort of, but also sort of kind of the truth. And so, you know, I found that advocating for other people is much easier. But I think it has made me better at, you know, calling, you know, the cable person and asking for a better deal, because now I kind of like it. I think I've become a New Yorker.
That is so funny. So being a woman from the South, now, did you grow up in Oxford, Mississippi?
No, I actually grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana,
okay.
But I spent a summer in Oxford, Mississippi, interning for the Oxford American Magazine, which has since moved to Arkansas. But it was an unpaid internship, so I waitressed on the side.
Yes, and that's it's all interns do at some point. It seems like every intern makes some type of run through for food service
right.
at some point or another. And to your point, you find out very quickly whether it's a good fit
exactly.
or not. You'll be able to survive. All right, so it sounds like both of you kind of knew right away or you had some idea that books were your thing. In terms of things that happened in the past, did you feel like anything you did in the past helped you? Like when you were in school, Kristen, mm-hmm. we'll start with you. Were your classes all geared towards writing or were there experiences that you pulled in that somehow helped you become a better writer? What are some of the things that you think have really enhanced the experience for you?
So in college, I was mainly interested in poetry, actually.
Okay.
But I knew that becoming a working poet was not going to be maybe my best job choice after graduation. So
Do poetry now?
I do sometimes.
Okay.
No, I haven't published anything, but I do
right.
you know, as an exercise.
Yeah.
And I decided to do some internships at magazines so that I could have a working writer job as soon as possible was what I really wanted.
So you were able to do it and go that way?
Yep.
All right. And what about you, Catherine?
I guess, remind me specifically what...
Yeah, so the question is, you know, basically, what in your previous work or life experience
right, right.
has really enhanced or helped you in your current role?
Right, mm-hmm. sorry. I guess I was thinking about Kristen's answer. I was like, poetry, really?
Yeah,
right. I'm like,
huh, you're right.
Well, not a lot of money, but how can we use that? I'm sorry, what was the question? That's how an agent mind works. You know, it's a funny question because, as I said before, it's a good question. But as I said before, I the negotiating part of being an agent, you know, which is a big part of it, and you know, it's that is not something that necessarily I was used to doing.
Right.
But grown to like it, or at least you know, do it, be able to do it. But the part that I think you know makes me really love the job, and I think to the extent that I think I'm. Pretty good at it, makes me good at it, is that I really love talking to writers. And I don't know, this is maybe kind of a silly answer, but, you know, I grew up in a very you know, sort of social family and,
mm-hmm.
and talking to all kinds of people and adults. You know, a lot of parties were with adults. And I think a big part of meeting writers is going to, you know, conferences or interacting with writers in various places and drawing them out and so I think that part is something that's valuable to me is being able to you know really engage with the people before you even know if you know, you're going to be working with them or not. Mm-hmm.
So getting to know them. And I, like, when I think of New Orleans, I just think of this cast of colorful characters.
Yes.
Now, in fairness, my only experience in New Orleans has been at Mardi Gras. So everybody's a colorful character
right.
in Mardi Gras.
Right.
But I do think of New Orleans having, you know, just with some of the Creole influence and, you know, just some of that, having a lot of interesting people there. And if I'm not mistaken, you just came back from a conference in Alaska. Is that right?
I did, yeah.
So that also had to be, you know, an appeal to you.
Yeah, it was amazing. And, you know, the conferences and the people that are listening, if part of your interest or part of your journey in being a writer is you're considering whether to go to some of these writers' conferences, you know, I mean, I think some are certainly better than others, but I think they really can be valuable. And this one in Alaska might be a little bit far away from for North Carolina millennials, but hey, it's a great excuse to see it. And you know, they have the ones that have, you know, agents and editors and presenters that recognize or from, you know, these companies that you recognize can really be valuable.
I would think so.
And you have these one-on-one conversations with agents and editors, and you get to know what they're working on, and it's a lot of fun. Tiring, after 10 back-to-back meetings in one day, but fun.
Did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, and I know that just for people listening who are interested in, you know, who are aspiring writers, I know that when I first moved to North Carolina 10 years ago, the North Carolina Writers Network has a fabulous conference twice a year that usually takes place locally.
They do, and they have a website. I think it's NCW. Yes, there we go.
Yeah.
So, Catherine, what are some of the good conferences for people to attend? Because, like you said, not all conferences are created equal.
Right. Well, you know, I can't speak for, you know, all of them, certainly, and I have not been to all of them. And I can just speak to the ones that I've attended and have really found well run and I think valuable to the authors. And that is the Grub Street Conference in Boston. It happens every spring. It's called Muse in the Marketplace, hosted by Grub Street. There's the one in Alaska was amazing. It's called the Kachemak Bay Writers Conference. there's one in Aspen. Getting the name of, but I think it's probably the only Aspen Writers Conference, which was pretty
who
great.
Wouldn't be in a great mood
yeah,
in Aspen? I mean, really.
they bring in great writers. And then the ones that are the really prestigious ones that are application-based, that is SWANI, and then the Breadloaf Writers Conference, which I believe is the oldest one in the country.
Probably.
And near Middlebury, Vermont.
Yes.
And those are both amazing.
All right, North Carolina writers, there you go. Those are some good ones. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking with Kristen Cusick-Lewis, and we're going to be talking about the craft of writing. So hang tight, and we'll be right back. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Hiemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Hiemstra with the Art of Potential Show, and we are having an absolutely fabulous time here. I am talking with Kristen Cusick-Lewis. She is the author of How Lucky You Are, and with her book agent, Catherine Fawcett from Curtis Brown. So right now we're going to talk to Kristen a little bit on the craft of writing and how to engage and work with agents. So first, let's start with the craft of writing. Tell us what it's like to be a writer.
So for me, that means writing daily. I think it's really important, even if I'm not working on something, to be writing something daily, sort of exercising those muscles.
How long?
I think, you know, I think it's really up to the person. For me, sometimes it's 500 words and 20 minutes.
Okay.
Other days, it's a couple hours, but I think, you know.
And you'll still get 500 words in.
Yes, exactly right. But it really just depends on what else is happening. But I find, for me, if I do that first thing in the morning before anybody else in my house is up.
And that's from a mother with children.
Yes.
So you can't really do anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's definitely taking the work seriously. You know, I think the question that a lot of writers get is, how do you find time to do it? And I think you have to make it. You know, it is my job, and so I take it really seriously.
So when you say it is your job is to write.
Mm-hmm.
So are you constantly working on books, articles, and many projects at once, or are you like a single-track thinker where this is my one project, this is all mm-hmm. I can handle? Because it seems to me writing is a heady mm-hmm. experience, so that you would, to me, it would seem to be difficult to have multiple projects floating around.
Yep. Well, with a book, when I wrote this, the last book, I just wrote a second novel that's coming out in December. I was pretty much just working on that. I mean, there are points when it's busier and points when it's quiet. You know, when I turn in a revision to my editor, then I'll have some time to do something else. But it's mostly, and I used to do a lot of magazine work at the same time, but now I've cut way back on that to focus on. But it really just depends on what's happening at the moment.
Okay.
So
you can juggle, is what I hear you saying. Mm-hmm. You figured out how to really exercise.
Yep.
Yeah. You're doing your arms and your legs at the same time. So as a writer, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? As a writer, what keeps me up? So for me, I think that I'm most interested in the character first. So if I get an idea for a character, that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about who that person is, what makes that person tick, what that person's interested, what their background or their childhood has shaped them into being. Those are the kinds of things that I really find myself diving deep into.
And will those come out in your novel, or will they just be like little note cards you have in your head? Like, okay, this person is shaped by the fact that they grew up in the South and they were a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't okay to ask for money or whatever, you know.
Right. No, those things will certainly come out. I think it's the little details that are the most fun to write. Mm-hmm. And so I often, you know, when I'm working on something, I have little notes all over the house.
Oh, that must be fun.
Yeah. Just, you know, a line I think of, or, you know, something somebody does, or a way they turn their head, you know, whatever it might be.
Do the characters already exist in your head, or do you feel like you're making them up, like when you were little and you decided that you were going to be a fireman and that kind of a thing?
It's kind of both. You know what? I would say my first year after college, I was living in New York, and I had a roommate, and the two of us would walk along the West Side Highway after work at night, and we would just watch people, and we would invent life stories for them.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've done that in the mall before.
Yeah. In the airport. It's a good way to pass time. Right. Flight delay. Yeah.
Catherine, do you do the same thing?
No. I hope that person doesn't have a novel to send me right now, because I'm way behind.
Okay. So your ideas are popping at night. Is it the same thing then that gets you out of bed in the morning?
So I think, you know, when I sit down to write, I don't know necessarily what's going to come that day or what's going to, but I think it's more about sort of just getting the rhythm going and not, I think.
So you don't have like a goal, I need to write this scene by the end of today?
Not when I'm first starting a project. Like if I'm first starting something, no, I don't. And I think it's important to not feel like, if you're an aspiring novelist, to not feel like you have to go start at the beginning of the book and write through to the end of the book. I mean, I think it's important to start wherever you feel you're...
Oh, interesting. Okay, so jump right in the middle.
And yeah. And I think it's also important to know that what you put down on a specific day, you know, it's not, you're not etching it into stone. You know, it's always, you can always go back and revise, and it's mostly revision as far as I'm concerned. So
I wonder how much of Harry Potter got revised. You know, that would be very interesting. But that is, there's a fluidity to it.
Mm-hmm.
The craft itself has, you know, it's like you put the anchor points in, but after that, you know, you can
move things around. Absolutely. Yeah. And once I go through a draft or two, then I start to think about, okay, how am I going to shape this exactly? And that's when I get the index cards out and start going chapter by chapter and think, okay, how am I going to make this all work?
Well, so where does your inspiration come from? Like, you know, your dinner, you clearly go out to dinner and watch other people talk.
Right. I mean, it can come anywhere, I think. I mean, sometimes it starts with a character. It really does. And then other times.
So where does the character, like, in your head, and then you're like, okay, I got it. I got, you know?
Yeah, it really does. Maybe
you go through your yearbook and think,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe it starts, sometimes it starts with an image. Sometimes it starts with an idea about a certain type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Is
there intuition involved? Like, do you get the feelings of the character?
I think there probably is. Or maybe I get drawn to an idea about a person, and I think that would be interesting to to dive deep down into that.
You know, explore.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the agent part of it. So when you were looking for an agent, how did you go about the process?
So I think I wrote three or maybe four drafts of my first book. And
so you completed the book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, and I think that's important for people to know is you need to have a completed manuscript before you go on that search.
I'll check for fiction.
Yep. For fiction,
yeah.
Yes.
For nonfiction, if it's not memoir, if it's like prescriptive nonfiction or something that's not memoir, then it can be a proposal book.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, but for fiction, certainly need to have it.
Yeah.
Have it done. So I did that, and then while I was writing, I was thinking about I was keeping a list, and so I would look through books by authors who I admired, who I thought maybe had a slightly similar style or a similar market, that kind of thing. And I kept a list of agents' names, and then I got on a website, Publishers Marketplace, and I would search for authors there, or, I mean agents there. And then there's another website that I looked at, Agent Query, where you could, and then I would just get on agencies' websites. And when it was time, I started sending out, you know, if you go on an agent's, Catherine can probably speak better to this, but website, there are very specific guidelines that you need to follow. And I think it's important to be really careful to follow those specific guidelines because they're getting so much
right.
in terms of submissions.
Right. Yeah. They have their system down.
Absolutely.
And if you want to be considered, you need to know their system.
Absolutely. So I probably sent out 25 queries.
Okay.
And then I waited. And over the course, it probably took 4 months before Catherine and I signed through that time.
Okay.
And, you know, some didn't want to hear back, and then some wanted to see the manuscript, and some wanted to see sample chapters. And it just varies from agency to agency and agent to agent what they want.
And I think it's important to note, too, if an agent doesn't want your work, it's not about you as a person. It's just not necessarily a good fit. It's
right.
Like going to a bookstore. Some books appeal to you and some don't.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's subjective. And I also think that it's important if you do find someone who and you think you want to work together. I think Catherine and I had several conversations about the way we worked and making sure that we were the right fit in terms of our communication styles and I mean, Catherine could probably speak to this as well,
right.
And you know what we each expected from the relationship. So,
yeah. Okay. No. Well, one thing I just want to say about Kristen's letter. I mean, it was very, very polished and very professional, and it described her book really well. And one tip I think is really important to add is that when you're querying agents, if you are able to make it at all specific as to why you're writing to that agent.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is if you can start it off by saying, dear so-and-so, I'm writing to you because you represent so-and-so, and I, you know, think my work is similar, or I really admire that writer, and so I wanted to contact you. You know, you can keep it very simple, but it makes your letter stand out to the agent, and it also tells the agent that you have done your homework and that you're also not, you know, maybe querying 100 people with a form letter,
right.
But you're querying them specifically. And I think just psychologically it makes you think, wow, this person's taking the time to write to me for some reason. And so I want to give this letter extra time. And then the other part of it is if you say something nice about, at least for me, if you say something nice about one of my writers, I immediately like you.
Yeah.
So that's a little tip. And you can find out who the agents for authors are by, you know, often in the back of the book, as I think Kristen was saying, in the acknowledgement section. You know, authors will thank their agents. So that's one way.
Now, that's great advice. I love that. I immediately like you if you like my writers. It shows me you have impeccable taste.
Yeah. It is important, though. I do think the attention to detail is important. I remember from when I worked in magazines for a long time, and one of my first jobs when I was starting out in magazines was to go through the query letters for articles, and I was told very specifically, if there's a misspelling on someone's name or if it's addressed to the wrong person, don't even look at it. Throw it out.
Wow.
So I think it's really important.
Yes. That, I mean, that's trial by fire right there.
Yep.
Could be a great article, but they missed something. So.
Yep.
And, you know, agents and get a huge number of queries a day. I mean, I've never taken the time to count, but I mean, some days it could be as many as, you know, 25. And now that, you know, the agent's emails and information is available to everyone, you know, on the internet, you know, and everyone now emails their queries for the most part, you know, you get I would say bombarded with queries. And so, you know, you really want yours you don't want to give the agent any reason not to. You don't want to give the agent any reason to delete yours because they have, you know, not only their own client's work to do, looking at queries that are more professional than yours. So exactly what Kristen said, be very careful about punctuation and things like that. But also, when in doubt, keep it succinct and professional. The best advice I can say is, as I said before, say why you're targeting that agent, then include very clean, compelling description of your book that might be similar to the flap copy of an actual book. Okay. So the same thing that will make me want to read your manuscript, you know, on my weekend is the same thing that might make you want to pick up a book by someone you've never heard of in a bookstore. So that really strong descriptive copy you see on the back or on the flap of a book. And then, you know, a little bit about you at the end. You don't need to say anything like, Miss Fawcett, I really think that my book's going to be a big movie, and, you know, here's who's going to play it. And I understand who's going to play me in the movie. I understand why authors do that, because they think, oh, agents want to make money. I need to talk about all the ways my book can make money. And so I do understand that reasoning, except rest assured that we are already thinking of all the ways your book can do those things. But what we really are looking for is agents are good books that we can sell, great books that we can sell, books that we want to fall in love with. And yes, hopefully make some money on too, but straightforward.
That's a great way to say it. We need to take a break, but when we come back, Catherine, I want to pick up that line, books we can fall in love with, because I think that is something people need to remember. You're listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. We will be right back.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemster with The Art of Potential Show and having just a great time right now with Kristen Cusick-Lewis, author of How Lucky You Are, and her agent, Catherine Fawcett. And Catherine's from Curtis Brown. So, Catherine, question for you. You just made a comment in the last segment about agents wanting to fall in love with the material.
That's key. I mean, we are looking first and foremost for books that we believe in as readers. I don't think personally I could ever sell a book well that I didn't love. And, you know, you're with the agent and with the author and with that book for a very long time. That's what, you know, we really are looking for, things that we love and then can also sell. And to use Kristen Cusick-Lewis as an example, when I read her manuscript, I thought, this is the kind of book that I want to tell my friends about, you know, my mom about, my family about, the way it depicts women's friendship, and it's so beautifully written, and it's funny, and it's warm, and it's a compelling story. I fell in love. I called her up and said, I want to represent this. We sold it to one of the, you know, the biggest houses, publishing houses, and it's just been an absolute joy to work with, and it's what makes this my job really fun, is when you love the material.
So how often do you fall in love?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I fall in love with every client I sign. I've fallen in love with the book.
Right.
And I probably take on, you know, only a few people a year.
Okay, so you're very picky.
Well, you have to be, because there's so much time involved with representing just one client that there wouldn't be enough time in the day, to represent huge, huge, vast number of people, because you really need an agent who's going to be able, I think, be able to give you the time to give you meaningful feedback, have a lot of correspondence with you about things like your book cover, your next book. They're also working on your contract, you know, maybe audio rights, foreign rights, film, television rights. There's a lot that we do, so, you know, you do want to be choosy.
Well, it sounds like you do, but I imagine there's other people, like in any profession, where you have colleagues or, you know, people in different houses who probably take on a ton of clients.
Yeah, and there are a lot of agents who do and do that very well.
Yeah.
Right. It just depends. Or have more, maybe they have more support, or the kind of books they represent maybe don't require as much editing. Or if it's more genre fiction, maybe it's doesn't require as much as sort of thoughtful feedback. I don't know, but I think most agents would say that it's a mistake to take on too many clients, because then you're just overwhelmed. But I think it's a disservice to the people you do represent.
Yeah, I can see that. And my guess is probably like with any job, you have to figure it out as you go along. Mm-hmm. Yep. There may be some burn in the midnight oil when you think, oops, took on too many clients. So what does keep you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is the guilt of not having read as many queries and as many manuscripts as I hope to have done that day or that week. It's just overwhelming, and you know, it's the part of my job that I love. Is for the, when you're 5 pages into a novel or a nonfiction project, and you think this person can write, and their voice is wonderful. It's how I felt about How Lucky You Are, Kristen's novel,
right.
And but yeah, the difficult part is thinking, oh my gosh, I need to grow another pair of eyeballs to get through this because there's just too much. So as a result, you know, I end up turning down a lot of stuff that I'm sure, that I know is wonderful, but I just don't, you know, only have one set of eyes.
Well, and there's only one of you, and to your point, you know, clone your eyeballs will clone yourself, and then you could, do all that. Have you ever had a situation where, and I'm sure this happened with Kristen's book, by the way, but one just immediately rose to the top and then suddenly, or do you realize when you see one that everybody's going to want a piece of it? Do you ever see query letters like that that are so?
I'll give you an example. I just signed a client who, and I know there were a lot of agents very interested in her, understandably, because she has a memoir that is an incredibly harrowing, amazing story about something that happened to her, a tragic thing that happened to her. But it wasn't just that the events were interesting and compelling, but it's that her expression of them was so thoughtful. And if for anyone writing memoir out there, you know, I think most of us can say we have, you know, a blank family, you know, weird, amazing, strange, whatever, or experience. You know, everyone feels their own experiences are important, as they should, but whether that should be a book is a different question. And in this case, you know, even in this query letter, I could tell that she was, the way she described what happened to her and the kind of questions that arose from what happened to her made me think this is going to be a book that also is going to be thought-provoking. It's going to have bigger themes about, you know, memory and trauma, not just kind of a chronological, this is, you know, this awful thing that happened.
So kind of get at the universal experience.
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. From an agent's point of view, what is it like to work with writers? What are some of the things that you find easy, that more challenging? Again, Kristen aside, other writers, not her.
Well, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't find it to truly be a joy. I mean, I do. I admire writers. I think they are so brave to put their work out there. They are disciplined. They have, you know, they exemplify things. Traits that I truly admire, you know, perseverance, fortitude, and patience. And so I really love it, and I love talking to authors about the ideas they have for their next book or where their ideas come from and how I can help them take what might be just an idea into something that, you know, I think I can sell and help create, you know, a book out of. And we might talk about the trends in the market and how that idea fits into the trend or whether we think it's the best thing for their career to write and such. So I really do love it. I mean, the only thing that is a kind of bummer about my job is, you know, managing expectations. I think people, understandably, you write a book and you think, my life is going to change. Everyone from my fourth grade class is going to call me up now and be jealous, and, you know, all my ex-boyfriends are going to be so jealous or whatever. I'm going to win a Pulitzer Prize, or I'm going to be the next, you know, David Baldacci. I'm going to make all this money, or whatever their expectations are. You know, if they're on that level, you know, it's just the sheer numbers of publishing are kind of shocking, that it's a very few people that actually, you know, small percentage who make the bestseller list and are able to make a living solely by their writing. So, you know, managing expectations is a lot of my job.
I would imagine it is. Because it is, yeah, I can see everybody kind of having the starry eyes, like, I've made it.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the fact is there are just not as many bookstores, you know.
Right.
Ask people who you know, how many books do you read a year? Look, I mean, I'll be the first to admit there's a lot of great stuff on HBO right now, you know.
Right.
You know? So it's tough. It's really tough.
It is,
and writing
compete.
Ask Kristen, you know, it's a It is a tough thing to sit down and do every day. It can feel thankless. There's often not a ton of money in it for some, for many. So you've got to really want to do it because you can't not do it.
Mm-hmm. Great answer. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to have pure advice from two experts on being a writer and being an agent. So hang tight and we'll be right back at you. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra, and we are talking with author Kristen Cusick Lewis, Chapel Hill Lady. Very excited to have her in our community, as well as Catherine Fawcett, an agent out of Curtis Brown in New York. So this segment is all about giving advice to aspiring writers, and we have so many in the Triangle area. So what I'm going to do is I'm first going to go to Kristen. And what advice do you have for aspiring writers?
So the first thing I would say is to set a writing schedule for yourself, whether it's daily or, you know, whatever you think you can do to keep yourself disciplined and keep yourself writing. The second thing I would say is find people to share your work with. I think a lot of people, particularly when they're starting out, are shy about sharing their work. And I think that's the only way you get better is through feedback. So there are a lot of writers groups locally. Conferences are a great place to meet other writers. One program that was really valuable to me was National Novel Writing Month, which happens every November. And you write a 50,000-word novel in a month, and it's a good just sort of trial by fire kind of thing.
It wouldn't be.
But just to get yourself sort of in the habit of doing the work. After that, in terms of the business of getting published goes, do your homework. The publishing industry is changing by the day.
Yeah.
I think it's important to think about what you want out of a writing career, if that's what you're after. You know, there are a lot of options now in terms of going the traditional route like I did, or going the self-publishing route, and I think that depends on what your goals are.
Yep.
So I think doing your homework in terms of those things is really important as well. And keep at it.
Just keep at it. Perseverance. That was interesting, Catherine. Those were the words that you used to describe a writer. It was funny because I didn't hear anything like, oh, creative, and da-da-da.
It was more like, about that.
No, it's very much
creative, right?
Right.
Well, waiting for the muse to strike does not pay the bills. You need to do the work. It also doesn't make you better. You know, it doesn't, right. More importantly, you've got
to push
yourself
through it.
No, you've got to get yourself in the chair and do it.
No, so. And there's a woman I know who is just this exercise. You know, if you saw her, she could be on any women's magazine for her muscles and physique. And she goes, it has to be routine and it has to be measurable, because if you can't do those two things, you won't do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately, that's true. But I'm always waiting for the exercise muse to strike, and it just doesn't happen as regularly as I wish it would. All right, so Catherine, what about from your perspective? Because you, my goodness, you have seen... I can't even imagine how many queries you've read at this point.
Yes, the number is probably staggering, but I really do echo everything Kristen said, because she answered perfectly. I mean, it's particularly about when she mentioned, you know, finding, you know, conferences or workshops or some kind of organized way of getting your writing done that involves other people, because I think one of the mistakes so many writers make is that they don't ask other people to read it before they start sending it to agents. And yes, it's fine if you have your spouse or your partner read it, or maybe a relative, but, you know, those people that are probably going to give you a pat on the back.
They love you, and they don't want to hurt your feelings and tell you that you should keep your
money. You know, it should be, you need harsh critics, or at least people, and they don't have to be professional writers, they don't have to be professional editors, although actually hiring a professional editor can be a great thing to do.
All right. Well, ladies, I would like to thank you so much for your time. And Kristen, why don't you tell us a little about your book, the one that you have and the one that's coming out?
Sure. Okay. So How Lucky You Are is a story about, as one reviewer called it, the growing pains of a long friendship. It's about three women in their mid-30s, and it's really about how our long friendships change as our roles change, mm-hmm. as we get older. And the next book I have coming out is called Save Me. It comes out in December of this year. It's set in Durham.
Very exciting.
Yeah, and it's about a couple, two doctors, and it's about their marriage, and it's about...
Do they work at Duke?
They do.
Yeah, you don't really have a choice.
They do. And it's about, it's a story about forgiveness.
Okay.
So.
Yep. Wonderful. We'll look forward to that, and we'll have you back on the show about that time.
Thank you so much.
And what about you, Catherine? How can people reach out to you if they want you to look at their novel?
Well, they're welcome to come to the Curtis Brown website.
Okay.
And all of our agent profiles are on there. So you can, if you Google Curtis Brown Limited New York, you'll find us.
Terrific. And do you have a preference in what type of genre you like?
I'm kind of all over the place.
Okay.
Although I don't represent that much young adult. I only have sort of one exception there. But I love literary fiction. I love commercial fiction of most types, and a wide range of nonfiction too.
Terrific. All right. Well, thank you very much. You have just listened to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow on Twitter.